This morning's public reading comes from Jeremiah chapter 6, so may I invite you to take a Bible and join us this morning as I read publicly from the Word of the Living God. Proverbs chapter 6 this morning, verses 18 to 30, to the end. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and a sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and their fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, that would be the Babylonians and their auxiliary armies, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. And they shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea. And they ride upon horses, set in array as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. We have heard the fame thereof. Our hands wax feeble. Anguish had taken hold of us, and pain as of a woman in travail. Go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and fear is on every side. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth, and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning as for an only son. Most bitter lamentation, for the spoilers shall suddenly come upon us. I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. The bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melted in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. Please be seated. And may God have mercy on his word. Well, beloved, we come to this particular portion here, or at least this little snippet of one of Jeremiah's oracles that heaven gave to him to give to the people. And you got to admit, there is no good news in this message. At this point, there is not even a glimmer of any hope or any rescue. There seems to be not even the hint of divine intervention. No divine intervention at all. Matter of fact, look at verse 21. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people. Now, beloved, we are admonished as Christians not to put stumbling blocks in front of other people. That's an exhortation given to we, the people of God, not to lay a stumbling block in front of a weaker brother. True? Notice here, though, God says, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, whereby the father and the son together will fall upon them. Their neighbor and their friends shall perish. So verse 21, these few words in this particular portion of this oracle lends no divine intervention, no help. There seems to be no ally, whether it's Assyria to the north or Egypt to the south. There is no aid coming. There is no FEMA. There is no government bailout. Okay? There's no new weapon system coming off the assembly line that's going to be able to curb this invasion. Notice how God describes them. Notice how God describes them. Verse 22, Behold, the people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall rise from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses, set in array as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. So this is not a modern day battle, you know, a 21st century battle somewhere fought in Israel. But Jeremiah, too dumb to write tank or ballistic missile, so he has to couch it in ancient warfare tactics. This is an ancient battle. Horses, chariot, bow and arrow, spear, javelin, slingshots with stones, things of that nature, siege engines, building a mound around the city to facilitate siege engines or storming the walls of the city. This is not a modern day battle, so don't be fooled by modern day Schofieldites who try to take something like this and then couch it or coach it into a modern day warfare. This is not modern day warfare being described. Then notice how peril times were going to be. Look at verse 25. Go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and fear is on every side. So you didn't even have safety walking in your neighborhood at this time. You might be accosted. There might be a few bandits there wanting your money or wanting what little food you might have left in your picnic basket. So there was no safety, even in the very neighborhood or in the very streets of the people there in Judah. They were warned, don't even go out at night. Don't even go by the wayside, because you might not come back safe, or you might not come back at all. Okay? You might not come back at all. What else do we see here in, see here. Verse 17, no, Jeremiah, in verses 18, yes, 18, 19, watch this. Therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their what? Not their actions or their works, but their thoughts. You hear everybody today up in arms with us Bible believers about performance. You know, if you truly believe that the grace of God can transform a sinner into a saint, we also expect a life that is transformed, a different direction, a different walk, right? A different language coming out of that person's mouth, right? A true desire to worship the King, to be with his people, to be in church, to read his Bible, to pray, to give, to serve. True? And we're sometimes castrated for saying, you're fruit inspectors. Well, beloved, here, God is a thought inspector. He's not going to be judging here. He says, I'm going to bring all this evil because of the fruit of what they're thinking. And beloved, you got to stop and think. What you end up thinking eventually gets translated in how you act. So yes, God is ultimately looking at their fruits. He's looking at their actions. But notice how God backs up a bit and says, not only am I addressing the evilness of their ways or their doings, I'm going to go to the heart of the matter. I'm going to go to the root of the matter. I'm going to bring all this upon them because of what they think, their worldview. Not a Bible view, worldview, but a worldly, dead religious worldview. And then notice in verses 20, to what purpose do you come to me with incense from Sheba and sweet cane from a far country? Now notice, your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. You know what God is saying? Your religion nauseates me. Your external ceremonies, what you do by tradition, what you do by going through the motions, there is no heart, there is no life to your worship. Turn to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. I want to show you a cross-reference. Noah comes out of the ark, and the first thing he does is builds an altar, and he sacrifices. I think it's 9. Chapter 8. Look at verse 20 and 21. Now, I'm going to read Jeremiah again. Nor your sacrifices are sweet unto me. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, took a very clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, etc. See the difference? Noah offered to God with real worship of the heart, real life, real soul, real meaning to his worship of gratitude in getting through a year and 10 days in the ark, being safe and sound, everybody safe and sound, his family and the animals, safe and sound. Here God is saying, why do you go to the most expensive locations on this earth and bring back the sweetest incense, the best incense that gold or silver can buy? And you come into my house and you offer it, but your hearts are still left at home. Or your hearts are still left up there in the groves and the high places where you do your mumbo jumbo with the idols. And then you're going to come to me and offer your bullocks and your lambs? What does he tell them? Even your offerings are unacceptable to me. And yet, isn't that the nerve center of the temple? When you came through the gate, the first thing that you looked at was the altar of burning. You have to lay your sacrifice on there before you can go any further. You have to take care of your sin. And here they're bringing the very sin offerings and the trespass offerings, and God says what? Away with them. They nauseate me. And your sacrifices are no longer sweet, but maybe they were sour. Sour. And he rejected them. And then notice verse 27. God now directs a few words to his prophet. I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. Now look at those words. Sometimes a preacher's responsibility, if he's doing his job and he's faithful to his calling, if he's preaching the truth properly, his words are going to try and test you to see whether or not you are really who you claim you are and whether you really love the Lord. He told Jeremiah, that thou mayest know and try their way. See, the more Jeremiah preached a message of badness and not of a fake peace, the real character of his family, his friends, his neighbors, his former playmates, and his fellow priests rose to the surface, and he was able to know exactly who they really were behind their masks of a dead religion. So when you rattle someone's cage, the real person's going to emerge. And they will be exposed for who and what they are. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.